Armenia and Azerbaijan are currently in conflict with each other, which is something the Belgian media didn't really cover in depth. This is why our bi-weekly broadcast Tell Me More focused on this subject. Did you miss it? Well, don't sweat it too much, as I will summarize all of the highlights of this broadcast. So what exactly is happening in Armenia? Well, Nagorno-Karabakh is a region in southwest Azerbaijan, but the majority of the people in that region are Armenian. Now, Armenians are Christian and Azerbaijani people are mostly Muslim. The problem is that Nagorno-Karabakh is internationally seen as a part of Azerbaijan, but is also partly in the hands of Artsakh. Artsakh exists of an Armenian ethnicity and declared its own independence from Azerbaijan in 1991, but this is not internationally recognized. In September of 2020, this conflict recommenced. Eventually, on the 10th of November, there was a peace agreement that caused a lot of Armenian protests. Why? Well, because Artsakh is now part of Azerbaijan. As a reaction, a lot of Armenians burned their houses before leaving, and Azerbaijan sees this peace agreement as a victory. Turkey supports Azerbaijan fully as they feel connected with each other. Recep Ismaili taught us some more about the situation.
Recep Ismaili came to Belgium in February and is studying at KU Leuven. His parents and brothers still live in Baku, the capital of Azerbaijan. What is the current situation in Azerbaijan?
About the war. It's like holiday in Azerbaijan right now. Everybody is like celebrating. So many people are like happy that they can finally return their homeland since like 30 years. When they expelled from those regions, they kicked out the people from those regions, and the people who after the region, they were living in Azerbaijan. But you know, they didn't have a good living situation. They didn't have a house. They were living in the kindergarten in Azerbaijan, most of them. They weren't so happy in living there. So that's why it's like holiday right now for Azerbaijan people.
And how did the conflict start?
From the news, I heard that they start attacking in 27th of September, and they like wanted the other regions to take control again. And this time, the president, I think, he just saw that it's a trigger for us to start the war and they take our lands back. And he knew that the relation of Armenia with the Russian and the other countries is not good. And the new president of Armenia was in a good relation with others. So he said, okay, this is the moment and we should get it back.
And what do you think about Azerbaijan taking control of the area between Armenia and Nagorno-Karabakh?
This is Azerbaijani land, right? It's international law that these lands belong to Azerbaijan and why it should be occupied by some other countries. That's the first question, why? So I think we just take our rights back really good. That's why we're celebrating this as a holiday. And it's not about the president that he wanted the war. The people are wanted the war. They wanted to get our land, get back to their lands, homelands.
Before we switch to a more lighthearted part of the podcast, let's listen to Rafik's and Kamran's testimonies.
Rafik Hüseynov is a project manager at ACT Azerbaijan and lives in Baku. When did the conflict start?
My conflict started many years ago. My conflict started when Armenian side has occupied our lands, and we've been trying to solve this problem peacefully for such a long time, and we just didn't have patience. So it just created a lot of energy. Like it was adding up to the energy, like as a nation, to all people, that we still have this problem ongoing and it's not solved. So all this time, all these years of I would say suffering. And all these years of pain has had to end sometime. And I think that's how the conflict started. Actually, conflict started, like as I said, 30 years ago, and it was still ongoing. And sometimes we had some clashes on the borders. But this time, it was like on a huger scale, on a wider scale. And so Azerbaijani government decided to counterattack and just regain our lands as the international. I would say international law, international committees, organizations couldn't solve the problem, so we had to take it on our hands and we had to solve it ourselves. So that's how the current situation has happened. Azerbaijan side decided that, okay, if we can't reach the solution peacefully, And if no one's going to help us, we're going to do what we have to do. And we did what we had to do to regain our lands. And I think it was a huge victory for Azerbaijani people. Yet there are casualties from both sides, and there is some positive side where we have managed to get an agreement with Armenian side so that there is no more casualties from both sides.
What is the role of Russia and Turkey in the conflict?
Russia is playing a role like peacemakers. I don't know how we call their soldiers. So they have their peacemaker soldiers that came to Karabakh to protect, I will just suggest, to protect Armenian people. And I think it's not that bad, because I know that the conflict could have been escalated if there was no peacekeepers, and like people could get into conflict more, and it could lead to another war situation between two countries. But there should be peacekeepers, and Russia came, and we just wanted to involve Turkey as well, because you can see that on every program, on every TV show in Russia, even President of Russia, Vladimir Putin, said that we have really friendly and historical relations with Armenia, and we couldn't leave them alone. We were providing them with weapons and stuff. I think you could see that on his interviews. And we just wanted to be two-sided, and we wanted to have our support as well. That's why we had to involve Turkey to this conflict as well. And I think that's why we have like four sides of the conflict. It's Turkey, Armenia, Azerbaijan, and Russia. So what we know is Russia has always been backing Armenia, while Turkey is always supporting us. So we've tried to kind of reach a balance, but still we have many questions as well. But as we are just ordinary people, like we are citizens, maybe we don't know much about this, like the conflict, the gist of the relationship between the government representatives and stuff. Maybe that's why we are a little confused, but we would appreciate to have more clarification as well.
Kamran Fahab also lives in Azerbaijan, and he is a friend of Rafik. What is it like to live there now, and how do you see the future?
It's a stability. Now that's in Baku and in other regions, it's stable. There is no any, for example, there is no any. We are so glad that there is no any clashes between Armenian side and Azerbaijan, and there is no any tragedy. We don't see that any casualties from both sides. And after the 10th November agreement between the Russian and Russian, Armenian, and Azerbaijan parts, and the peacekeepers, so-called peacekeepers of Russian federations, came to Nagorno-Karabakh, and after that kind of silence, and we are waiting that this silence will be so long, and finally we will find the solution for this conflict, and we will not see the same words, conflict at Nagorno-Karabakh again. We don't want to hear these words. That's our position and our weight from the future.
Just like every other broadcast we did, we didn't just want to focus on all of the negatives. That's why we always include some fun facts about the countries we're covering. I'm going to start with some facts about Armenia. Armenia is the oldest Christian country in the world. In the 4th century, this religion was declared a state religion by the Armenian king Tiridat III. Almost 95% of the inhabitants of Armenia belong to the Armenian Apostolic Church. Karate, kickboxing, wrestling, and weightlifting are the most important sports in Armenia. Chess is also very popular, and it is even a compulsory subject at school. For the adventurers among us, Armenia has the longest cable car in the world. The cable car goes from the village of Halitzor to the monastery of Tatev and is almost 6 kilometers long. And of course, we cannot forget about Azerbaijan before I sign off. The Republic of Azerbaijan became independent twice. You may wonder how. In 1918, independence lasted about 2 years. After that, it took more than 70 years before they regained their independence after the collapse of the Soviet Union. 94% of the population of Azerbaijan believe in Islam. The Azerbaijani People's Republic advocated equality between men and women. That is why women were given the right to vote in 1918, which is the first time that women were given the right to vote in the Islamic world. And if you love caviar, well, Azerbaijan is responsible for 80% of the world's caviar production. I really hope you learned something today and that we were able to broaden your horizon at least a little bit. All I can say is please keep educating yourselves on certain topics so you can help bring light to certain situations and maybe even make a small change to the world.